All right, we just got a few minutes. I was going to confess to you, as I usually do before I start. Last few times I've preached, I'll get whatever my notes are together, 5:59 or whatever time it is, I'll get all done, and then I'll look at it, and I'll think about things that have gone on in the last few weeks, the time up before that message, and I'll look at it, and sometimes I'll take stuff out and say, no, that speaks to something that I don't want to address because somebody gave me a note or somebody called me on the phone or a situation arose and that, or somebody passed away, like Brother Darrell was saying about. So I will try to say it another way. I'll remove it and I'll try to sanitize it so that I don't address that topic in the sermon for whatever reason, because I don't want to cry or I don't want to respond to something that I haven't processed myself yet. And the last few times I have done that, and about halfway through the sermon, and I can point to it on the recording, but halfway through the sermon, I will realize that God has somehow is preaching at me, and somehow he put it back in. And I'll get convicted, and usually I start to sweat. Like, I'll see the sweat just go straight down and hit the notes, and it's like God saying, you can't work that way. And I've tried to do that, to not respond, and to process it, because I feel like, and I say it every time I get up here, I feel like I'm trying to address, you know, or this is my one chance to talk, so I better talk about it. And I see how God worked despite Adam, which he has to all the time. But in those instances, I see where God said, you may not plan on saying it, but I'm gonna say it anyway. And it's kind of humorous. So I'll start sweating right away. I wanted to address a rumor. I was approached, and somebody said to me, I don't know what kind of coloring you're putting in your hair, but it looks good. And I just want to say, I'm not coloring my hair. This is the second or third time somebody said I was putting shoe polish on the back of my head. If I ever start, I will just make it clear to everybody, this is the day I've got Just for Men or Nice and Easy or whatever it is. This is my product. I want the spray can of where you spray it and comb it in. That looks good for me. The same thing I'm sure happens to many of you and with kids, and if you're a Sunday school teacher or any type of leader where you stand up in front of people, you say, I don't want to talk about that one thing because I haven't handled it yet, or I just had this conversation with somebody last week, and if I talk about this thing, they're going to think that's what I'm talking about. And what I want to preach to you about tonight, I always say this, I'm always preaching to myself, so I don't cut it out to not convict me. I just say, well, maybe I shouldn't say it because of something that's gone on or something that's been said to me. But the message tonight, the verses that we read, were about prayer. And I think about, again, in my own life, there's been plenty of times where I've said, I know what the Bible says about this situation, but I go to the Word of God, but I don't pray about it. Sue mentioned in her testimony, a couple of others mentioned the privilege that we have to pray, the faith that we have, and the verses that we read. The list of names, the disciples, Mary, the mother of Jesus, they had just seen Jesus ascend back into heaven, and they decided that right then and there it was important that they get together and that they pray. And I think about in our own lives and the world that we live in today, Jesus went back to heaven, it's been a while, but our faith should be such that we can say, well, if he just left or if he's about to come back, we should get together, we should pray and make prayer and supplication. It says the men and the women. I think about our kids. I know we were joking about the blessing board, but if God lays somebody on your heart, it doesn't have to be a lady. If you want to pray for somebody else, and I know we were joking about doing nice things for the men, but men like to be prayed for and get a note of encouragement too as well. And again, the same thing. If God lays it on your heart, don't try 15 different directions to say, well, maybe God really didn't mean that thing. Just go ahead and pray and go ahead and acknowledge it. And in the verses that we read, they had seen miracles. These people had seen Jesus raise the dead, heal people. They'd seen him cast out devils. And as soon as he ascended, they stood there and said, well, he's coming back. And they gazed and stood there and watched, and they wanted him to return. In the meantime, he hasn't returned yet. But when he does, he should find us in such a state, in a state of faith, in a state of prayer. The Bible over and over again commands us to pray and to give thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe when they prayed, they said, we're going to pray in the name of the one that said, all power is given unto me. In the name of the one that said, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. And they were going to pray and say, in Jesus' name, in our Lord Jesus' name, we ask for these things. We bring these needs to you. We declare it to be true that we love you and want to serve you. And I believe the same thing should be true for us. Despite the situations that you might find yourself in today, when there's nothing else that you can do, you can pray. I was thinking about people that have influenced me in my life, people that I've looked up to and that have led me and taught me. And I think about all of them, and I think of their example, and then I think of the times when, in my opinion, and again, this is just me preaching it myself, but if I say, well, their example in that situation wasn't the best it could have been. And then I stop and think, well, how often when I look to their example and I wanted to copy them and emulate them, how often in all that time did I pray for them? How often did I lift them up to God and say, here's another creation that God made, here's another person that Jesus died for, and instead of critiquing them and looking at them, and again, I say, you know, as a father now myself, I have absolved my dad of everything I ever thought he fell short in as a dad, because now I'm a father, and I've, you know, I've lived that now to the degree that I have. I still have much to learn. But I look at, again, my own father and say, how often did I pray compared to when I said, oh, well, dad really dropped the ball when he yelled at me for locking his keys in the car, or he didn't even yell at me, but, you know, just the experiences that I had. How often did I pray for those people, those leaders in my life? In Acts chapter 6, it says, we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. It's a verse that talks about leaders in the church, calling other leaders, calling deacons, and saying, we need people to minister. We need to delegate, because prayer is important. It wasn't saying that people's needs were unimportant. It was saying, hey, we're going to get off track if we're not seeking the will of God, if we're not seeking the face of God, if we're not giving ourselves continually to prayer. The people that we want to help won't be around for us to help anymore. The people that we want to feed, the people that we want to take care of, they're not here for us, they're here for God. So if we're not on the same page with God, we're not going to have anybody to lead. We're not going to have anybody to influence. They decided, and we need to decide, they decided to have that dependence on God. To say, even though, hey, I was there with Jesus, I saw him work the miracles, I saw him come back from the dead, they said, we can't do it without his power. We can't do it in our own experience. We can't do it in our own works. We can't do it without his power. It is not never a waste of our time to bring a need to God. It's never a waste of our time to pray for something that we've already prayed for. It's not ever a waste of our time to say, you know, God, I thought I had an idea of how you were going to work in this situation, and so far I've been wrong. But change me. I pray, Lord, that you change my perspective on it. I pray that you would reveal your power and that I'd be absolutely dependent on you and that you'd answer this prayer. Again, the Bible says that they may not have agreed on everything, but they agreed to come in Jesus' name. They agreed to gather in his name. The Bible says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And again, there's a teenager told me there's a football game next week. It wasn't that they were all on the same team, that they were all on the, and they all rooted for the same things all the time. But in the name of God, they gathered together. And they said, hey, if I need to change, change me. If my brother needs to change, change him. But until we get this all figured out, we're gonna pray and we're gonna gather together and pray in Jesus' name. And the Bible says, there am I in their midst. They sought God's power. They prayed for laborers. Again, a few months back, somebody mentioned to me, you know, there are people in the church that could be doing more, and there are some people in the church that are probably doing too much. And my first reaction was, well, what do you want me to do? You want me to make a chart? You want me to, you know, get a time clock and make everybody punch in? But instead of thinking that way, and again, I'm sweating, but I'm talking about what I'm thinking about, I said, you know, well, let's pray about it. Let's pray that God's the one that sends laborers. Let's pray that God would burden somebody's heart if somebody's in the wrong spot, if they're not doing what they should. Let's pray that God would lead them. And so many times we turn to charts and practices, and we say, well, this is how it worked for so-and-so, you know, and instead of saying, well, God, you're the one that burdens somebody. You're the one that gives somebody the burden to teach or to lead or to clean or whatever needs to be done. And again, our church is great in that area. We have so many people that are willing to do whatever is needed. But God is the one that leads them. God's the one that gives them the patience and the understanding and the knowledge and the wisdom to do it and to do it rightly. So some of our time we should spend on saying, God, send forth laborers. The Bible says the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers unto his harvest. And again, I just say tonight, if God has laid a need on your heart, don't be like me and say, well, here's 15 ways we can work around this and not really respond to what God's laying on my heart. Instead, just say, well, I really feel like God wants me to do this, and I'm going to go as far down that path as God will let me go, and I want God to lead me. And say, it's obvious to me. It doesn't seem to be obvious to anybody else, and that's true all the time. God might reveal a need to you, and he says, well, I've only showed it to you because I want you to be the one to meet it. I've only shown you that lapse, or I've only shown you that need because you are the one that needs to fix it. And we should pray in that way. Pray that God would send the laborers that he wants to the areas that need to be handled. They prayed as a church body. They prayed as fellow laborers. They prayed as those that were going through suffering. I was thinking about the Sunday school lesson. Again, I haven't heard the morning service yet, but that verse at the end of Job where the Bible says God turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. God had said, he had corrected Job, he corrected the friends. He said, I need you to make a sacrifice and I need Job to pray for you. And when Job was obedient, God turned his captivity. And many of us are in the same situation. We say, well, I'm not a Job, but I'm trying to do what's right. And there's people around me that are questioning me, and they're challenging me. And have we prayed for those people? Have we said, well, I don't think I fall into the category they put me in, but have we prayed for them? Have we said, well, God, fix my perspective or fix theirs. Get us on the same page. Get us gathered together in his name. They needed God's protection. They needed God to send laborers. And then they needed God to work as only he could do to increase their faith and enlarge their vision. The Bible talks about how Jesus added to the church and multiplied to the church. See, now I told you about the sweat. You're going to say, well, I wonder what he just said. I have a Richard Simmons headband. I just need to get the headband on. And yeah, don't give me that because then it'll just disintegrate all over my face. So thank you. I'll just take it. Thank you, and the gift that it was given, and the spirit it was given. When we get, and again, I mentioned Brother Darrell's song. There, I was thinking about people in the last month that passed away, and I said, you know, I never had, try not to cry, I never had a conversation with that person where we got into a disagreement or where I left thinking, I wonder if they love me, I wonder if they care for me, or I wonder if they're faking it. And I thought, the reason I never had a conversation like that was not because they were the embodiment of God, they were perfect. It's because they had made a decision that instead of looking for disagreement or debate, they looked for things they could pray for. There are many times I'm thinking of Brother Wendell when every time I talk to him, a lot of our duties, a lot of our responsibilities overlapped. He was a song leader and did a lot of things in the church, obviously. He was a lot older than me, but we had a lot of similar experiences. And he never had a negative word to say, even though same thing with many other musicians and people with more experience than me. The one he could have criticized and said, here's where you could have done that better, or I found this works better for me. He had the experience in those areas, but he was always an encouragement, and he always asked if there was anything he could pray for, and then he told me that he loved me. And I thought, I'm not to that level yet where I can be the way that he is, but I could move a little bit in that direction, and I could pray for people. I could stop looking for reasons to disagree, and I could start looking for things that I need to pray about for them, or that I could ask them to pray for me. It comes back to that dependence on God. It comes back to praying that God would send the laborers that he wants for the jobs that God knows need to be done. And being one body and asking God to increase our faith and enlarge our vision. Again, we talked about suffering, but our prayer should be, It's hard for me to say. I'm going to go ahead and say it. We should pray for patience sometime. We should pray that God would teach us what he needs to teach us, even if it hurts, even if it's suffering, even if we could say like Job, there's no reason it should be happening to me other than God still has something he needs to teach me. Not a sin that he needs to correct, but God needs me to be more usable. God needs to use me more than he's using me now, so he's allowing this in my life and to be that example to somebody else. So I said what I wanted to say tonight. I'm going to conclude. I want to challenge each of you. If you find yourself in that position of saying, I think this is what God wants me to do, but I'm going to take every avenue I can to not really address it, just stop. Just to say, you know what, God's given me an area where I'm frustrated, where I see something that needs to be done. It doesn't seem to bother anybody else. And God's saying, yeah, it doesn't bother anybody else. Nobody else has that experience. Nobody else has that burden. Why don't you respond to it? And then you won't have to be bothered by it anymore. And just yield yourself to God. In his power, in his name, gather together with those that love him. I love all of you. I appreciate you all. Thanks for putting up with me. We're going to pray. We're going to have an invitation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your use of us. Even when we say, I'm not able to say it that way. I'm not able to address it that way. Thank you that you love us enough to force us into an uncomfortable situation every now and then. You love us enough to put people in our life that we miss because they were what we are not yet. I pray that we would, as has been said many times, we'd love the people that you put in our life, that we'd pray for them, that we'd ask them to pray for us. I pray that we would, that you would send the laborers that need to be here and that see the need and that they'd respond to it and that they'd put themselves out of the picture and yield themselves to you. Put their will out of the picture and put themselves in your will. I pray, bless the invitation. Thank you for the love that you've given us in this church. Thank you for the people that are yielded, are the example that we need. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.